We've got a really important one today that I can't wait for you guys to listen to. I want to ask a question: who determines generally accepted practice standards in dentistry? Now, some of you might not think that's a really big deal, but you need to understand that the dental insurance companies actually think they should be the ones doing that, which is came out when we battled the insurance companies for the Utah network leasing downcoding and bundling protections law here in Utah. And they're at it again. They're really trying to say, well, we should be the ones that determine that. And we're going to get into that in a podcast in a month or two with one of the insurance companies here in Utah, what they're trying to do, and one of the insurance companies in the Western United States and what they're trying to do. We begin our podcast right there.
Welcome, all of you fantastic dental podcast listeners, to the My Practice, My Business Dental Podcast Show, where we help dentists profit and thrive with excerpts from the clinical business of dentistry training here at My Practice, My Business. We'll be addressing and answering questions with current trends dentists and their teams face each and every day in their pursuit of this wonderful career we call dentistry. And now the host of our show, the clinical director and president at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
This determination of generally accepted practice standards is actually a really big deal. It's something that we've got to pay attention to in our occupations, for sure. A few weeks ago, Tracy and I, we were on Capitol Hill working on legislation with one of our representatives, and we were there with our Utah Dental Association executive working on those topics that we were hoping to get into the bill process to be processed into law. Before I go any further, I want to ask this question. What has your state dental association been doing for you in other states? And I know I've got a lot of podcast listeners that are in other states, and I want to thank all of you. We actually crossed over 1,000 listeners, and I really appreciate that. Many of you know that we could monetize what we do here now, and I just don't want to go there, you guys. I want to be able to talk openly and directly, and I don't want any outside funding to try to sway my mind. So going back to what is your state dental association been doing, I wish all states had an executive like we do. Now, we didn't have an executive like we did before. Unfortunately, we've tried working with several executives in other states and tried working with the executive that we had before this one. And the unfortunate truth is you guys simply don't have executives that have the fortitude to do the things that they should be doing, which is really sad. And docs, it's time to lean on your associations and light a fire under their asses. There, I said it. So, there's the first one already. There are so many things that they could easily do, but simply choose not to. And all of your state representatives, the president-elect, whatever, whoever they are, the delegates, until they prove me wrong, and I want them to prove me wrong, sometimes I feel like they're just there for the title. And look at what I can hang on my wall and show my patients. Look who I am. I'm the whatever. Okay. Proof's in the pudding. Get to work, you know, actually represent like you're supposed to. It's not just a title, right? So it's an attitude. Anyway. So our UDA executive, he scored such an awesome win for the Utah dentists on pharmaceuticals, and hopefully it'll be made into law this spring. And I would love to talk more on that later, but I don't know. I'm just going to say it right now. Dentists were left out in being able to dispense medications in the state of Utah. So some overzealous pharmacist decided to turn a dentist or two in. I can't remember the full story. How stupid is that? We dispense medications all the time. Ugh. Anyway, so if this law passes, it's going to do some wonderful things for our perio patients and the protocols we have for them. So I'm really excited. And score for the UDA and for Val, because he just had his situational awareness and radar scope on. And again, where are your executives with their radar scopes? And that's what frustrates the crap out of me for all of you. But you know what? They won't do things unless you talk to them and push them and show that you actually have an agenda that will work. All right? So copy laws from other states, people. So Tracy and I attempted this one topic for legislation. We tried to get this one to go through, which reads, quote, generally accepted practice standards for dentistry are to be determined by the majority of professionally licensed dentists in Utah and managed by the State Dental Association, end of quote. I know that you guys are thinking, well, Rob, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Isn't that the way it really is? You know what, people, if you're not paying attention, you're going to continue to see your freedoms jerked right out from underneath your molars, okay? Our talking point was this. Our proposal would prevent unlicensed dental plan executives with third-party payers from setting dental standards of care. Sounds so simple, right? And this was our statement. And I want to read this because this was pretty powerful. I don't know. Sometimes like things come out in me that they're not from me, folks. Believe me, not from Rob. Sometimes inspiration hits my brain once in a while. So my practice, my business position on oral health care in Utah was this. The top, and I quote, the top managerial leadership of dental insurance companies are simply not qualified to make or invoke dental health care decisions. Yet that is what they have been allowed to do for decades. As it stands now, while it may be wonderfully beneficial for dental insurance companies, the attempted control of generally accepted practice standards by third-party payers has resulted in a quality of patient care that dentists in the United States consider substandard. If the court of public opinion is all we have, the multi-million dollar dental insurance companies will always control oral health care. Dentists will rally around and attempt to cause change on behalf of themselves and those they serve, but the insurance companies only have to be patient until the dentists wear down and give up. However, it is critical that Utah dentists and their professional associations be able to establish a standard of practice void of fiduciary interests and imposed limitations by third-party payers that enables Utah dentists the opportunity to provide the best patient care their training allows. Therefore, if the Utah State Legislature can combine with the dental profession and both understand the need for laws to protect the public from compromising oral health policy administered by third-party payers, those protective laws will establish a better standard of oral health care for the citizens of Utah that must be honored between the dentist and the dental insurance industry. This is the exact reason My Practice, My Business, a dental advocacy company, and the Utah Dental Association are here today. End of quote. Well, we're going to have a podcast on Delta Dental here in a month or two also that you guys are going to learn exactly how they set their fees, and it's not on our fee-for-service basis either. Oh, the revelations that Tracy and I have uncovered in investigative work, it will just make all of you cringe, and it'll shut down the crap that many still teach to this day, many consultants. And even, you know, our associations, the BS. So anyway, we then gave examples of what dental insurance companies, to our legislator, companies are doing and why this is an important step. And you all know them. You all know them. Bundling of procedures, downcoding procedures, stating procedures are to be inclusive and not billable to the patient. And those are only a few of the tactics dental insurance companies are using to force dentists nationally to financially compromise patient care. And Delta Dental is being sued right now in California for lowering fees that will indirectly compromise patient care. Delta Dental Washington was sued in 2020 for more compromising patient care too. You'd think they'd learn, but they don't. They got big pockets. You know, they're happy to make a handful of people rich as they lose their lawsuits. And more lawsuits are on the verge in 2023 against third-party payers for attempting to control patient care, just like is done in socialistic countries. That's what they're trying to do. What do I mean? They're attempting to control health care, and it's got to stop. Even the physicians are stating in their medical community it's got to stop. Here in Utah, between our non-covered services law and our powerful network leasing, downcoding, and bundling protections law, we are able to battle those three problems that I mentioned earlier, or dare I say, those dentists and office managers who understand the power behind those laws are able to push back against bad policy by third-party payers. Unfortunately, you guys, most offices to date still don't understand their rights and the rights of their patients. And that's why the UDA, our association here in Utah, has Tracy lecturing on both days at the UDA convention this year. She'll be teaching these concepts some more and how to battle them and how to win. But what are we seeing in the insurance companies trying to use generally accepted practice standards against us? What are we seeing? By stating that they should be the ones to determine those standards. Unfortunately for them, we already did a statewide survey with our licensed dentists on the procedures they are trying to still bundle and downcode, and it crushed and still continues to crush those controlling dental insurance representatives. That survey is now with our state insurance commission, and it favors dentists and the quality of care they render their patients. Now, having said that, dental plan representatives are doing their best to circumnavigate generally accepted practice standards and claim that they're the ones to determine them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Select Health. And hence the reason for more legislation to back them into a corner where they cannot determine the quality of care that you and I provide our patients. And if they try to, that's where you lean on your state insurance commissioner. And that's exactly what's happening today with the aforementioned dental insurance company that I just stated. But here was the hiccup. Our wonderful Utah representative stated that in medical, generally accepted practice standards are determined by medical insurance companies. And when he made that statement, that just didn't resonate with me. So here we go. Investigator Rob, that's me, came out again, and the investigation started. What are generally accepted practice standards in medical? Well, generally accepted standards of medical practice means standards that are based upon credible scientific evidence published in peer-reviewed medical literature, not dental insurance medical literature, peer-reviewed medical literature, and generally recognized by the relevant medical community, not the insurance community, by the physicians and healthcare provider specialty society recommendations, the views of physicians and healthcare providers practicing in relevant clinical areas and any other relevant factor as determined by statutes and or regulations. They must be consistent with the views of who? Physicians practicing in relevant clinical areas and any other relevant factors by them. There was a wonderful article that I read in the Washington Post on the point that medical insurance companies should not be determining standards at all. Well, why did they even need an article to come out stating that, Captain Obvious? And it said that if they attempt to do so, they are practicing medicine without a license and should be held accountable according to state law, meaning they should be thrown in jail. Practicing dentistry without a license, they should be thrown in jail. Doppel. In other words, they should go to jail. I can't tell you how many times we tell dental insurance reps they're crossing the line and might be practicing dentistry without a license if they continue. But many of them don't care and won't still until the state insurance commissioner and the Department of Professional Licensing makes an example out of them. And that's where we're going today with reporting one of them. So who determines the standard of, well, we've actually done it with many of them, you guys. That's why they hate us. Okay, who determines the standard of care? The standard of care is developed by a complex network of doctors, medical researchers, government regulators, and writers for medical journals. Standards are not like laws. They are voted on once a year by elected who? Doctors. What authority regulates the practice of medicine? The laws governing the practice of medicine and other allied healthcare professionals are regulated by the medical board of each state and are contained in the Business and Professions Code. All right, so I continued. What is the purpose of practice standards in healthcare? The answer? Clinical practice standards can be useful for helping physicians reduce the risk of adverse events and improve the quality of patient care. So what is the difference between practice standards and practice guidelines? Practice standards are authoritative, whereas practice guidelines are recommendations. Consensus statements and position papers serve mainly as information sources. Their recommendations are not binding. what about dental? This is so weird. So I went into dental and I started looking at it. The ADA, American Dental Association, establishes baseline dental standards and technical recommendations on dental products, from dental product manufacturers to dentists who use them. So I found it interesting when I read that, that the ADA states they establish what? Baseline standards. Does that mean there are higher standards of oral health delivery? Of course there is. And that's exactly why the ADA, what the ADA is alluding to, and rightfully so. Who is responsible for quality assurance in a dental practice? The answer, the responsibility for quality and quality assurance lies in the hands of the dental profession. Organized dentistry possesses a social and ethical commitment for the society, as well as professional obligation for the members of the profession. So the next one was interesting. Who interprets and implements the State Dental Practice Act regulation? The Dental Practice Act specifies the legal requirements for the practice of dentistry within each state. An administrative board, usually called the Board of Dentistry, interprets and implements state regulations. Wow. Nowhere in my research does it say that a third-party payer or dental insurance company sets the precedence of generally accepted practice standards. That decision is granted wholly and solely by the licensed practicing dentist, or in the case of medicine, it's the physician. This is such a very important argument to continue the battle on. So we as a dental association within our states, as a dental profession, should never relinquish our standards, especially to dental insurance managers. This is why all of us need to be actively involved in our state and national associations, not just paying dues, but fighting the battle on the front lines with them, and stop griping against them. This battle's far from over. Tracy, our exec Val, and I, we're going to continue this battle for and in behalf of dentists in Utah, and I hope all of you will become or maintain membership in your association and be proactive with them. I know, all of you, you ask this question all the time, what is my association doing for me and why am I paying dues? I get it. I understand. Y'all know what we have done in Utah to protect dentistry from third-party payers if you've been listening to our podcasts or know us personally. Do you think for 1 minute we're more special than any of you? Not even. If Tracy and I can do this, so can you. All of you need to be active, and all of you need to pay attention and not just sit there with your head in your caves and watching Netflix and not thinking about this stuff. Turn that brain on in that head, okay? Start asking yourself the tough questions. Maybe make a phone call or two. Oh, I'm going to be making a few phone calls today. In between patients. If all of us band together and actually look at things to be treated fairly, it's amazing what we're able to accomplish. But sometimes that actually means pushing back against the association. We're going to talk about a letter that was written and published in the ADA News on periodontal disease and how it's not working. And I still haven't looked up to see if that doc that did that, if that's a GP or a specialist, and I'm going to, but when I do that podcast, I'll have that investigative work done. But thank goodness for people like that doc who published that article, actually are coming out and asking the hard questions, but not just asking them. Don't just ask the questions, be active, be proactive, proactive in what you do. If your cause is worthy, if your cause is truthful and legitimate, you can win battles. If you're just going to gripe and complain about things, you're not going to get anybody to listen, okay? So you have to back up what it is you're doing. Go online, get a copy of our law, and light up your state dental association leadership, let alone the executive running the show. Bug your leadership. Let them know that they are there to serve, not just to hold a title and to a place on their wall, right? And call, email, and meet them in person. Do it often. They too don't know what they don't know. They just need your help. So I hope all of you will offer it. This is a real powerful topic because we need to be the ones determining generally accepted practice standards. You guys get that law passed in your state that we did in Utah. just call Tracy and ask her for our survey on who determines generally accepted practice standards, because I'm going to tell you right now that the aforementioned insurance company came back and said, we looked at 1,000 dentists who are on our plan, and only 71 of them are charging for local anesthesia. So therefore, generally accepted practice standards shouldn't apply to under those generally accepted practice standards. We believe that you should be giving away anesthetic. And this is such a topic of mine, and you guys know it, because medical doesn't, veterinary doesn't, chiropractics doesn't. Why would we be complaining about reimbursement rates and giving away things? Think about that little oxymoron statement, folks. Stop it right now. And it's like, here's the funny part that Tracy pointed out to them. She said, you mean to tell me that you looked at 1,000 dentists who you tell every time on the EOB that local anesthesia is inclusive in the procedure, and only 71 of them are doing that? She said, those 71 that are doing it are probably our clients who understand Utah law and know that they can push back. The rest of them don't know yet. Wait till they do. And so this is the crap that we help you guys push back on to win battles. Think about that. They use generally accepted practice standards against us. Those are the things that you complain to the State Insurance Commission on. Those are the things you get your association going on. If you think Utah's different, all of you states out there, all of you out there have the same problem. But if you guys start being proactive in what you're doing, you will win the battle. But if you sit back and suck your thumb and whine and complain about stuff, you're not going to get anything done. So proactive again. And if you need help, we are here for you. Grateful to the states who have reached out to us to ask for our help, and the doctors that are in those states, we appreciate you asking us for help. And as you know, we give it at 150%. We want you to succeed, and we want you to win these battles. Well, I hope this has been a fairly eye-opening podcast. I hope that you guys are going to really actually look at generally accepted practice standards, and I hope you hold your association's feet to the fire on who determines them. All of you have a fantastic day.
Thank you for being with us today. Since 2006, My Practice, My Business has been teaching dentists and their teams business skills, dental insurance contractual protocols, and state laws governing how to profitably bill patients fairly for the need-based services they provide. What's more, we guarantee our training, unlike other dental consulting companies in the industry. Simply stated, if you don't increase your net revenue, we don't get paid. We call it dental consulting the way it should be. We believe there's never been a more important time than now for dentists to experience and implement our key methods, knowledge, and business training within their dental practices. To learn more about our guaranteed, no-risk clinical business of dentistry training that is changing dental practices for the better, just go to our website, mypracticemybusiness.com, and surf our pages for additional information about our company and the services we provide. When you're ready, give us a call and get scheduled for the most profitable dental business training that you will ever experience. If you enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call us. Thank you again, and have a fantastic day.